Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of Slamfire Radio. That's right, just one away from 50.
The San Francisco edition.
The San Francisco, I don't get that reference.
San Francisco 49ers.
I don't understand.
It's football. Never mind. It's a sport. It's a sport that involves something other than a gun. You wouldn't understand it.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Yeah. No guns. No Matthew. Anyway, yes, this is the show for March 20th, 2014, and as you can hear, Trevor's here, and I'm here, and Owen's not here.
Because he hates you.
That's basically it. I mean, I was talking to him earlier, and it was the same thing as whenever we talk to you before you come on the, or you don't come on the show. You're like, I hate those listeners. Oh, I'm sick of them. I'm done. I'm just kidding.
No, I just
haven't spoken to Owen all day.
Yeah,
Trevor really does say that.
Thrown under the bus even when I show up.
Dude, you're driving.
I can't. Huh?
Did you fall out of the window again?
And ran myself over. I have the ability to do that.
Oh, it's funny. Well, why don't you regale us all with what you've been doing with guns this week?
All right. It's been busy. I've been working on guns, shooting guns, making ammo, taking classes, officiating classes, but testing guns. It's been fun. The 870 project continues. Thank you, Bolivar. You know what Bolivar did for me?
Not much.
To the contrary, mon frère.
Oh, wow.
He gave me a stock for my 870. He's like, dude, I value you as a friend and as a fellow patriot, and I want you to have this stock free of charge. And he shipped it to me, and it got here within like 48 hours, and he's like, don't even worry about sending me an EMT for the $16 shipping. It's a gift between friends.
Is this the same one that he complained about not getting a shout-out on last week's show when, in fact, he had sent it after last week's show was recorded?
That's right. None of what I just said occurred. In fact, yeah, I had to beg him to send me a stock that he didn't need or want or use.
He was going to throw it in the garbage, and you're like, no, send it to me. He's like, I really want to throw this out.
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm like, I'll pay you double the shipping, Brian. Just come on. Don't be like that. Just ship it to me. And then, yeah, so he does this after the show's recorded and then complains he didn't get a shout-out.
I'm sorry, Brian. Our time machine broke.
He should know well that there's going to be retribution for such shenanigans, tomfoolery.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Anyway, but, yeah, so...
So what kind of stock is it?
Well, it's the stock off his Remington 870 Tactical. He bought my...
Oh, so it has the speed feed thing on the side?
No. No, that's the one of the Mossberg 590s has that stock.
Oh,
I don't know if any of the Remington Tactical versions does, but this is just the plain black synthetic stock that comes with the Remington Tactical.
Oh, okay, so it's nothing special.
So, no, not really. Really, truly, it's not. But it's better than the wood that was on there, right?
Right. So you've taken this classic wood 870 and turned it into a tactical, and then you're like, no, I'm getting a Mossberg 590. I'm turning this back into my classic hunting gun. So of course you did, and that lasted for, was it three minutes or was it four before you're like, I gotta change it back to plastic.
yeah exactly. So I put the Mesa Tactical shell carrier back on, I put the extension tube back on, and Brian gave me this stock because I sold him my Magpul stock. So this will hold me until I get another Magpul stock, because I would definitely be putting another Magpul stock on it.
The Magpul stocks are nice then, huh? They shoot good and everything?
They do. They do.
I've got to try your 590 out whenever I get over there. I got to get over there still. But when I do, I want to try your 590 out, because I got to see if I want that stock for mine or not.
you're going to have to get over here sooner. You're not going to get to play with what I'm going to talk about here in a minute.
I don't suppose my bullet showed up yet.
Nay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, I got no reason to come over yet then.
Well, fine. You don't want to test this gun. I understand.
Oh, look at that. Owen's on his way. He's going to be on the show here in a little bit after all. I just got a message from him. So when he arrives, we'll just join him in and we'll carry it on.
Awesome. So the 870, I got it all back together, less the barrel. I took the barrel and I packed it up with my Versamax that's downstairs by the door waiting, waiting to get shipped out to Casey at TAC.org. He's going to cut the original 28-inch factory barrel down, thread it for choke tubes, and put a bead on it again, and then I'll find some aftermarket fiber optic front sight to put on there, and that'll still be cheaper than trying to track down a factory Remington barrel off the Remington Tactical or
yeah,
barrel like I had. So,
yeah, well, that should work. And
yeah,
welcome. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Welcome, Owen, to the show. Thank you for showing up eventually.
I'm sorry. I didn't even realize what time it was, and I just finished wolfing down my supper, and you sent me texts, which I don't get at my house, and then randomly did for some reason, and yeah. So.
Well, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We're just kind of halfway through what Trevor's been doing, and we'll cut to you whenever he's done.
Oh, wow. You've been going for an hour?
At halfway. Least. Yeah.
Owen, we've been going for 25 minutes. We're still on the first thing. Anyway.
Well, the good news is I haven't done diddly squat this week, so my part will be short.
Oh, well, there you go. So, Owen, what did you do with guns this week? Oh, diddly squat, huh? Okay, Trevor, squat. Carry on.
I got my Versamax out. I bought a box of 3.5-inch Magnum, and I bought 100 of the Winchester Universal. I paid as much for the box of 3.5-inch Magnum as I did for the 100 rounds of Universal.
It's funny how that works, huh?
They advertise the Versamax kicking like a 20 gauge. And let me tell you, when you're shooting 2 3/4 inch number 6 Universal through it, it kicks less than a 20 gauge. It's a joke to shoot. It's nice. So soft, so fun. But I don't care who you are. When you shoot 3.5-inch Magnum out of anything, it sucks.
Not yeah. Does it.
They beat you up, man.
So you can put in how many? 3.5-inch?
5.
5, okay. So it is set now. Can you put, is it like 5.5 or 5?
I would say it's about 5.5.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not uber tight.
And then you're going to, so that's you can't put any extension on then. It's already as extended as it can get because it can already hold what it can hold.
That's correct. Okay. It's a plus, I believe it's a plus 3 extension.
That's already on, okay.
Plus 3 in what, I don't know, it's made by Nordic. Yeah. And
yeah, anyway. Regardless, it holds no more than 5, so you're good. So how many, now here's it, how many can you put of 2 3/4?
7 in the tube.
Yeah.
And then your ghost load and then 1 in the chamber.
Nice, you do get a solid 9 then. And when you put in your 7 in the tube, how much extra play is there? Like, can you stick in just like your thumb a little bit, or is it tight when you put it in?
A little, no, it's doable.
Good.
Yeah, there's a bit more room in there because I could get, and I've talked this over with Chris Babes. He has actually shot 2.5-inch out of his Versamax and ran it, no problem, cycled it, no problem.
Yeah,
and
we didn't talk about that last week. Trevor's thinking about doing 2.5-inch shells instead of 2 3/4-inch shells because that will give you how many total?
10.
10 total.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I also got in touch with Invictus. They make really wicked shell carriers for shotgun ammo. And their shell carriers are adjustable. You can actually, I sent a little question like, well, are these things adjustable to hold 2.5-inch? And I got like a page of correspondence back from Invictus. And I read until I saw the word yes and then deleted the email.
Oh, like thanks, talking bro. To James May.
Yeah, it's like, cool story, bro. Does it hold 2.5 or not? Anyway, no, I'm really looking forward to getting some of these things. So the way the Invictus shell carriers work is they're not a caddy that holds 3x3 or 4x4 being held horizontally. They're actually being held in twos vertically. So the guys that are reloading, instead of reloading strong hand or weak hand from the bottom with 4 shells in their hand at a time or 3 shells in their hand at a time, are rolling the shotgun over and loading the shotgun is inverted, so now the feeding port, you're looking down into the feeding port, and they're ramming two in at a time. And I've watched a couple of videos of guys doing it on YouTube with their shot timers, and they're comparing the time, and they're shaving upwards of a second off their reload.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it looked like a really fast way to do it. Just as soon as I saw the carrier and how the shells loaded into it, I was like, okay, that would be fast. For competition.
Yeah. That's totally a competition thing. It's not, and it has no real world practicality whatsoever. I'm pretty sure even in competition, if you're in some kind of messed up stage where you're doing anything except running straight or back or sideways, you're probably going to, and it wouldn't take anything to knock the shells out of there, I imagine. So, where the other, you think about the AP shell carriers, they're in there pretty darn secure.
Yeah.
So I shot the Versamax 120 times. That was a lot of fun. And
did you at least bring clays out and shoot them out of the air? Or sorry, Owen's on skeets.
Skeets, yeah, I shot me some skeets.
Good.
No, actually, I just blew the hell out of the snowbank in front of the camp.
Really? That was it?
That was it.
If I had to go shoot a shotgun 125 times, I'm pretty sure I would have brought a case of clays. And
yeah, you might as well get the practice.
That's right. That's okay, Trevor. We understand you don't like shooting things out of the air because
I can't.
Because it takes skill.
Yeah, that's right. It's not my game. So
he'd rather shoot pieces of paper that sit still and don't move around on them.
Yep.
Well, to be honest, that is a lot of fun too.
Yes, and some of them do move.
Yeah.
To be even more honest.
Yeah.
There will be clays shot at this year's 3-gun match.
Yes, there will be. And Owen, will you be shooting any of them?
What? Sorry, I missed that.
Trevor said there will be clays shot at this year's 3-gun match.
I won't be not going to be at this 3-year's 3-gun match, so no, I won't.
Oh. Well, that's too bad. Why aren't you coming to the 3-gun?
2 days. One's on Sunday.
Oh. We should come for half of it. You could. I'm just saying. Trevor, continue on.
Yeah. Registration is still full price, but anyway.
exactly.
But for you, Owen, we'll make a special deal. You can pay twice the price for only coming for one day.
And myself and five other guys took a Chief Range Officer's class last Saturday and Sunday. So this is an IPSC-specific Chief Range Officer's course. So in the hierarchy, you've got Range Officer, Chief Range Officer, and Range Master. So I accumulated enough points to sit on that with quite a few other guys from my club and Doug Getty from the Miramichi Club. So Chris and George put us through that. It was interesting.
This portion of the show brought to you by Action Shooting Radio.
The main difference is we got more into critiquing stages with regards to the general principles of IPSC, and also then we got into the arbitration process a lot more than you would if you were just simply taking an RO course. So we were getting into a bit more of the meat and potatoes of organizing the match, let's say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so, the behind the scenes administrative
stuff. Yeah. Two exams this time. There's seven exams on the RO course now. One of them is a 100 question or 75 question take home exam. In the CRO course, there are only two closed book exams that you do on site. Pass mark is 75% instead of 50% from the RO course. One is on the rules, and then the other one is on course design.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's still rules because we only have the one book. We don't have a rule book and then a course design
book. Yeah, but one is specifically about course design. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. So I expect some really good stages from you this year then.
Not likely.
Oh, okay.
Do you want better than that, Matthew? I was asked by sales to design 100% of the SummerSlam stages next year.
Yeah? And how do you feel about this?
Stressed right the frig out.
Yep.
16 stages that need to be sent away for level 3 approval from the world body. Yo, I'm all, I can't, wow. Excellent.
Can I? Really? Why haven't you asked me before? Oh, this is my dream come true.
Yeah, not so much. So,
poor Trevor.
Then, it's been talked about for a while now. Dave Copping from Grand Power was going to be sending out his Excalibur. And so that arrived, well, you were supposed to come out, Matthew, a couple of weeks ago?
Yep.
Anyway, it's been here 2 or 3 weeks now, And I've gotten it out and shot it. Talked about it a little bit on the other show, but I neglected to talk about it on this show so far. So it's Grand Power Excalibur. They're made in Slovakia. And the best way I could describe this gun would be like saying the CZ Shadow and the M&P Pro got together and had a love child, and came, and this was the result.
So now, hold on, though. Is it all the negative things from both guns together, or all the positive things from both guns put together?
Absolutely all the positive things. Oh, let's say you want a polymer-feeling gun, but you like to have a hammer-fired gun that has a double-action, single-action trigger. You want a production gun with a long slide. You want a production gun with, you know, competition sights right out of the box. Like, this is it's the best of both worlds from all of the top production guns. You have the feel and adjustability of a polymer framed gun. The frame itself is actually steel wrapped in polymer on the outside, so when you handle the pistol, it feels like you're handling a polymer pistol.
But you have that advantage of the rigidity and the weight of the steel.
You got it. It has it comes with four back straps, so you have all kinds of adjustability.
Ooh, that's one more than Glock. Wait, no, it's not. That's two more than Glock.
Ambidextrous thumb safeties that come in two different sizes. Ambidextrous slide lock, ambidextrous mag release. Beautiful green fiber optic front sight. The slide is serrated to cut down the weight to speed up the cycling. The trigger in double action is factory out of the box. It's heavy. It's about 8 pounds. The single-action trigger is as nice as any single-action you're going to try out there, the Tanfoglio or the CZ, let's say. Sight, same thing. They're of Tanfoglio or CZ quality. I took it out to the range, put 150 rounds through it the first time out, shooting 147 grain Campro bullets. Really, really likes them. Really accurate. Jagged hole the size of a loony or a quarter on the bench at 7 yards and about a toonie standing at 7 yards, just slow controlled aim fire. And it's kind of, you know how Glocks feel really top heavy because the bottom frame is 100% polymer, so they kind of feel a little unbalanced a little bit.
Until you put a full mag in, yeah.
Yeah, well, especially when you get into the longer slide ones, like the Glock 34 and the Glock 35 are really nose heavy compared to like a 17. Well, this, because the steel frame, it doesn't quite have that. It's got a bit more weight to it than, let's say, a Glock 34 or an M&P Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, only $900. And they're a lot of gun for $900. So if you haven't checked them out yet, I would definitely get your hands on one for sure. Cool. I was going to keep this one, but somebody went and inscribed the letters D and C on the back. So
I guess you... Unless you're changing your name to
Danny
Dithering Cool. Something that starts with a C, I don't know.
Cool?
Yeah. Danny Cool. Dithering Cool. I don't know. I got nothing. I should have worked on that.
Yeah, really?
No.
That's what happens when you're unscripted. Sometimes your jokes, they bomb.
They fall flat.
Anyway, yeah. So big shout out to Dave for letting me test and evaluate this thing, and I hope at least Matthew, you get over here and get to play with it.
I'd like to.
It's got
to
go back.
Yep.
Got to go back in like 11 days.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I don't. And it was sent on a lending ATT. He didn't have to transfer it to me.
Interesting.
I didn't know we had such things.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's it for me. How about you?
Or
Owen, do you want to tell us? Sorry, Owen, do you want to tell us about Diddly Squat again?
Yeah.
Still Diddly Squat? He's gone.
Pretty much. No, I'm here. It's, yeah, Diddly Squat.
You didn't do anything?
I didn't do anything gun related.
Interesting.
I've been working 8 hour days, and then as soon as I get done work, I go to work, and been working for a few more hours, coming home, falling into bed, getting up, doing it over all over again. So,
wow,
that's been my week.
Yeah, you should really find some time for some gun stuff.
Prepping stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot I did some prepping stuff. Well, I'd just real quickly, you know, you're doing it right when your wife says to you, when's the last time you put something in the should the zombies come food stores? And she's doing the air quote, right? She's on board, man. When she's actually saying to me, hey, when's the last time you added something to the food stores?
Oh, yep, that's good.
Yeah.
I did buy a stove on Saturday.
That's true. You did. How'd that work out for you?
Not gun related, but.
But it is stove related.
It is stove related. It is here. It is sitting in my front entryway, taking up space.
Nice.
Because I don't have a hearth to put it on yet.
Are you doing? Yeah.
The flu is ordered, so it hopefully will be here soon.
Cool. So, yeah. Installing a wood stove. That's going to be fun.
Yes, you're going to have fun with that.
I am going to have fun helping you with that, yes. And by helping, I mean I will hand you things when you need them. Maybe even the right thing.
And catching me when I fall off the ladder.
Well, I don't know how far we'll go here.
Speaking of gun stuff and not stoves, I just got an email from Dave Coping about the new mag pouches that LHS developed. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but he sent me out a holster and mag pouches to test for our three-gun match, and I gave him some feedback on the mag pouches, and they redesigned them. And some of my suggestions were used in the redesign. So he just sent me out some pictures of the new design.
Hold them up to the microphone so we can all see.
They look very yellow.
Wow,
but
luckily nice.
He's sending me black ones. But
I like how they sound yellow.
Trust me, these things must need batteries because they'd be like a bright canary yellow. So anyway, look forward to bringing a review forward on those when they come in.
Sure. Yeah, cool. So is that all of your stove discussion there, Owen? You all done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although this stove is bulletproof.
We could find out.
We are not going to test that out. But I pretty much guarantee you it is.
Yeah. Pretty thick, huh?
It's surrounded by, the walls are made out of 1.5 inches of soapstone.
That's a lot of soapstone. So, I don't know what soapstone is, but we'll pretend that's impressive.
It's a rock.
All right. Cool. Well, I had a fairly busy week. Well, I guess it wasn't that busy, but it was busy enough. I coached Matt and Dan, two buddies of mine here in Edmonton, through their PAL challenge on Wednesday. So I went over to Matt's place, brought some rifles over, and we did Axe Improve pretty much all night, and we went through the handbook page by page, almost literally, and just went through everything, made sure they understood it all. And the next day, they both went in, wrote their test, did their practical test, and are both now qualified to apply for their PALs.
Awesome.
So, two more to the ranks. I did go to the range with my AR this week. I have had a red dot that Trevor gave me, or traded for me, I suppose, on it. And I've since decided that I really like my 2-7 power scope on there better. It's a quick disconnect 2-7 scope, so I can take it off quickly should anything, if it get knocked or whatever, and still use my iron sights. And that actually was a really good feature while I was at the range, because a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, it's a quick disconnect. I was looking at the mechanism of how that works, because I want to take one of my other scope bases that I have and turn it into a quick disconnect. And it's not going to take much, a little bit of machine work and some grinding and filing and whatnot, and I think I can make my own, but that's beside the point. I took this scope base apart and then put it back together, but I didn't snug everything back up. I just put it back together because I was anticipating taking it apart again because I was sure I was going to forget what I was doing and needed to reference it again. So I didn't snug anything up. So I had forgotten completely that I had done that. So I slapped this on the AR and I go out to the range and I start shooting and I'm like, man, this AR is not nearly as accurate as I remember it being. Meanwhile, every time the trigger resets, the whole scope is like jiggling and the whole image is moving. I'm like, oh, there's my problem. So it takes me half an hour to get to the range. I was like, well, that's a waste of time. So instead of just going home, I just took the scope off and popped my irons up and did some work with the just the iron sights. And out to 100 yards, I kept all my shots in the head of a regular size silhouette. With the iron sights, so I'm very happy with how accurate it actually shoots still with just irons.
Yeah, I need to do more practice with my irons, especially at longer distances.
Well, here's what you do is you screw up your optic, and that way you have to take it off and use your irons.
Here you were just thinking that you had a typical you know, NC Star optic.
That's right. That's what I was thinking. But really, actually, I'm actually really happy with this optic. I know it is a cheap Nick Star, but it holds at zero, or it has in the past. And now that I've tightened it back up, the one thing I really like about it is that it has a bullet drop compensator built right into the top turret for 1, 2, 3, 4, and 500 yards based on military ball ammo, which is what I'm shooting. So I think that that's a really nice handy feature to have. Plus, on 2 magnification, it's almost like shooting a red dot. I can shoot it with both eyes open, no problem. And then I have the ability to dial it up to 7 for the longer shots, which I think will come in handy for, well, longer shots.
But yeah. I find I get awful lazy with my red dot, and then I switch to the irons, and I have to take quite a bit of adjustment.
Yeah.
For me to kind of go, oh yeah, I gotta close one eye here, or, you know, I gotta line 2 things up instead of just putting the red dot on my target and pulling the trigger.
The red dot is definitely a lot easier to use, but I do think it's a good idea to practice with your irons on at least a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Other than that, the other night, and by that I mean last night, I joined 10X on the Polite Society podcast with Paul, Rob, and, sort of Rachel, to talk about the recent gun developments up here in Canada.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, no, it's too bad. It was a fairly good discussion. 10X, as usual, had all the facts right, and I just blathered on about whatever it was that we happened to be talking about. So it was a lot of fun, though. Those guys are great, and it would have been nice to have spoken actually to Rachel, but she didn't say a single word. She was online the whole time. Didn't say a single word the entire segment. So that's all
right. So it's true. She does hate Canadians.
I think it is true, yes.
I knew it.
Her and Canadians just don't get along. So.
And here I was thinking it was Rob that hated Canadians.
No, see, he does too.
Thank God Paul's all right.
Yeah, good thing. Although he did mention something about Kanakistan and how it sucked. But other than that,
they got
I'm just teasing.
They got another new guy too, but I haven't even bothered to learn his name yet. Well, if he sticks around for like 3 months, then I'll care.
Don't remember his name. Yeah, well, he wasn't on with us then, so it's all right. But anyway, it was good. Those guys are great, and the show was a lot of fun. So I encourage you guys to check out that episode as well. And finally, to wrap things up, I have been doing some drills. That I kind of, and I've just been using the Airsoft Glock for this because I didn't want to go back out to the range because it was a snow day today. That's right, another snow day. Stayed home and did practice.
2 weeks in a row.
On Thursday. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it snowed here, but I still had to work.
Yeah. Yep.
That's
I didn't.
Bad.
Yep. No. Too bad, indeed. Maybe anyway. So did some drills. Tom Nelson, upon hearing that Jewel was having some recoil anticipation issues shooting full power loads out of 9mm, specifically went out to the range for Jewel and made a video with Officer Dan and Nancy and did some drills right on video and showed us exactly how we should implement them. And, these are some really good drills that are going to help her with her recoil, we think. She hasn't even seen it yet, but she was absolutely staggered whenever she found out that he had done this for her. So that was really cool. So huge shout out to Tom for doing that. And you know, thanks, of course. I think the drills are going to help me even. So it's going to be really cool.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Actually, that does remind me that it wasn't really related to me, but I did get some of my gear onto my wife, and she did some drawing practice.
Good.
With the Glock, just kind of starting to get warm, you know, figure things out leading up to the course this summer. So,
have you thought more about what pistol she's going to use?
Nope.
Not yet, huh?
No, it's more about let's see if we can get some money set aside first and see what we have. But I suspect it's going to be another Glock 17 just because that's what she has used. It's the same as mine and she shoots it very, very well. So,
yep.
I mean, I don't even know if it's worth trying other pistols guns at this point because it's just scary. Second time I put her farther back than she was the first time she shot, and right to left she wasn't more than an inch and a half off right to left for mag after mag.
That's really good.
Yeah, yep. I don't know why you would even entertain anything else then.
No, if you're shooting it that well, then just carry on. And then a really nice thing with sticking with the gun that you've got, you know, everything's interchangeable.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So, very cool.
Did all right. you guys, sorry, just a side note there. A couple of weeks ago when I wasn't on, Owen, you had gotten some Korean mags in.
Yep.
And did you get a chance, Matthew, to test all the ones that you had?
Yeah, they're still flawless, sitting there next to my gun, not ever being used yet. No, I haven't been out to the range with the gun yet with the new mag, so I will make a point of giving a quick review on them whenever I do actually get a chance to shoot them.
Mark picked up, same as what you were told, Glock mag, and it arrives. Bought it off CGN, it arrives, and it's actually a Korean mag.
Yeah, oh, and same thing happened to him, huh?
Yeah, and it was a 33 rounder.
Yep.
And he's like, my slide won't lock back. And so the problem with these KCI mags is the finishing work and the molding around the top of the mag often impedes the follower from coming all the way up and hitting your slide lock.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, Mark was having other issues with them with his 17 rounders, but the couple that I've had go through, that's the only issue I've had with them, is they don't slide the slot, don't lock the slide back, and just get in there with your pocket knife and remove a little bit of the material that will allow the follower to come all the way up and engage your slide lock, and that's it.
And then it works fine.
Yeah, so watch for that.
I will. I'll definitely make sure I watch for that.
Yeah, it's cool. Almost like the plastic kind of runs over the top of the metal. It's kind of like, and just like a little thin piece of that polymer sticking over the metal down inside almost.
Yeah, that is the one thing I do like about Glock mags is that they are actually steel mags with just polymer covering.
And, yeah.
You know, a lot of people think, oh, they're plastic mags, they must be crap, but they're not really. They got that internal steel structure there still.
Yep. Yeah. And it doesn't need, yeah, anyway.
All right.
Just, there's no point in covering them in plastic. There's not.
There really isn't, except for durability, I guess, would be the only thing. In fact, if you ask me, they kind of slow down the removal whenever you drop them.
I concur.
It's not the slippery slickness of steel.
Yep. Slippery slickness of steel.
Say that six times fast.
Slippery slickness.
Don't.
Nope. In fact, slippery slickness of steel. Slippery slickness. No, I'll have a seizure for sure. In fact, Matthew.
If you don't, the listeners will.
The polymer mags are textured.
Yes, so little bit.
And there might be something said for that if your hands are covered in blood or mud or water, so you don't drop them. But as far as competition goes, I sanded all of my mags with like 320 grit sandpaper to remove that texture to try and increase the slickness, and even used to put the Armorall up inside the mag well.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Not on the mag.
Yeah. How there come goes. You can't hold on to your mag?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right, well, something to try if we start to find that our mags don't drop for you as quick. Armorall for your Glock.
Oh, yeah. So, if you get your calipers out, you'll see that they're not all the same size. And then sometimes a little bit of a... Some people have said tune them by squeezing them in a vise, but, oh, man, I just can't see myself. I'd have to do a little bit more research before I just take Joe Range Rambo's word for that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to squeeze anything in a vise unless, it's done right.
Yeah.
So, awesome. All right, well, let's move on to some upcoming events then. T-shirt orders, don't even bother. We're done with those. We don't have any available right now. We are waiting for a couple of people to make payments so that they
really
can get
upcoming event, then, is it?
Sent out. Well, this is to remind those who have ordered a T-shirt to make your payment so you can get it.
Try this. Give us money.
Yep, and soon.
Give us money now.
Yeah, anytime now. Nothing came in. We'll have to wait a minute. Oh, wait, this isn't live. They wouldn't hear us yet. But yeah, like I said on last week's show, I believe we're going to give you till the end of this month, so till the 31st. If I don't have your money by then, I'm allocating your shirt as for sale. So anybody who wants it can then just order it, and I will send it out to them. I'll make a list of what we have available at the end of the month. Charity shoot. This has been covered every week. Steve Lee is coming June 28th, Restigouche Gun Club. Lots of fun. Come on out. All funds, like I said, charity shoot. All funds collected will be donated to the Laurentides Autism Foundation. So it's a really good cause. In fact, we had a listener. Oh, you know what? I put his email in the listener feedback section, so we will cover him then. But we had somebody who made a donation who isn't even coming. So big shout out to that guy.
Yep.
The Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course with Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes. That's coming up, and I do believe that we have one, possibly two spots currently available. So one for sure, and one kind of 50-50. So if you want in, send me an email right now and let me know that you want it, and then send me an EMT, and I'll get your name on that list. It's $200. Payments due now, basically.
I thought everybody was paid. I'm looking at the list now.
Yep. One person has paid who might be backing out.
Okay.
And so they gave me that information, and I said, that's no problem. And there's one person, there's one blank spot left there.
That, gotcha. After
yep,
Amy.
So, yep. So there's one spot available. So anybody who wants it, come on out. Multi-gun coming up 16th and 17th of August. That's a ways away, but keep that in the back of your head because that's going to be a lot of fun too. And then, of course, we have the Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic with Daniel Shaw of the Gunfighter Cast.
How many spaces left in that one?
There were two, and now there aren't.
And then there were none.
And then there were none. So I guess I don't really need to cover too much about that because that course is full.
I'm going
to
throw a shout-out, though.
Yep.
Andy and his buddy that are coming. Andy has been a listener of you and I all the way back to Canadian Reload Radio.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, so he's been following the shenanigans and the tomfoolery for quite a few years now.
So he gets all the jokes then.
Yeah, yeah, poor him.
Poor guy, yeah.
Yeah, he actually wrote in once upon a time asking us about traveling with a pistol because he was going to go to Florida to hunt hogs with his Glock 20.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, so he's that guy.
Very cool. Now, if you did in fact go to Florida and hunt hogs with your pistol, you got to tell us all about it.
He didn't.
Oh, you could have made it up.
Well, he did.
We wouldn't have known the difference if you Andy had gone ahead and said, "Yeah, I did."
So. He did. He thought that it would be too easy, so he did it with his bare hands and
teeth.
Oh,
yeah. See, now there's a listener. Yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of listeners we draw to this show. That's why it's such a small number, because not just anybody can go out and hunt a hog with their bare hands.
That's right. But he did it.
Cool.
I think he was wearing a loincloth too, but I can't confirm nor deny.
Is that not a requirement? Loincloths for bare hand hunting? It was funny. I was on Facebook. Me on Facebook. You imagine? Oh wait, I'm on there too much. Almost as much as Trevor. But anyway, somebody had posted a picture of somebody who had taken a nice buck. It looked like a whitetail. It was very big. It was like I don't know, 10-point or 12-point buck. It was really, really nice. And they had posted this picture up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, one of the very first comments is, oh, I can't believe that you would kill that with a gun. Why don't you even the score and, you know, go at it with a knife? I was like, oh, okay. So, anyway, I had a little discussion.
You really are out there.
Yeah, I had a discussion with him on Facebook. And needless to say, he hasn't replied. So I kind of gave him some facts and some figures and some common sense. And well, I guess he left it at that. So... yeah. I don't know where I was going with that story.
I don't know.
We're into the news. So, Owen, do you want to bring us this news story?
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, okay.
This one is about a man who was fined $1,300 for improper storage of guns. In Pictou County, Nova Scotia, a hillside man has been handed a hefty fine for not properly storing his firearms. Arthur Cameron was charged with unsafe storage of two firearms and letting his firearms license expire. Cameron called police to the theft of a tractor from his field, but when officers arrived and were welcomed into his home, they found two loaded shotguns sitting on a chair. One of the guns was a 20-gauge single shotgun, and the second was a .303 caliber bolt-action rifle. During a police interview, officers discovered that Cameron's firearm license expired in 2008. Cameron was ordered to pay $250 in fines for each charge, plus an additional $75 victim surcharge for each charge, for a total of $1,300. he must also forfeit the guns.
Well, unfortunately, he lost about $200 worth of guns there, because that's about the price of the two guns. The $75 victim surcharge fee, you know, how can you not understand that? Because there was totally a victim in this case. Wait.
Wow.
Yeah, he was
the victim. He called the police because somebody stole his tractor, and so the police turned around and stole his guns. Basically.
So now that, yeah, well, he was a victim because his tractor was stolen.
That's
so
right.
So now you have to pay. If you're a victim, you have to pay
also,
money to get the police to investigate.
He was also a victim of his own stupidity.
He was. Well, yes. Yeah.
You know,
was.
The cops are coming over. Unload your stuff and put it away.
That's right.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
That being said, he is a victim also of our silly gun laws.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So there are victims all over the place here. But yeah. He should have known. To put it, at least put, even if he didn't want to unload them, at least put them in the closet. I understand having loaded guns in the house is probably silly, unless you're, you know, expecting a predator to break through your door or something. I mean, loaded guns in the house is generally not a good idea. I'm just
going
to go ahead.
Well, it's also against the law.
It is also against
the
law.
Whether it's a good idea or not, he should,
well,
you know,
yeah.
If he knows the cops are coming. Follow the law always, but especially when the cops are coming.
Yeah.
Should we be allowed to have loaded guns? That's not even
the
question.
That's a discussion for another. Yeah, that's
right.
True. That's true. But I guess what I was trying to make the point was that, you know, that's not what's at stake here, that law. But
yeah.
Anyway,
maybe
yeah.
He doesn't have enough IQ points. I don't to have them.
I don't know. Maybe he baited them. Maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe he wants to challenge the Firearms Act. That doesn't sound right. He probably isn't. But here's the other cool thing about this, though. And, you know, look for as little silver lining as we possibly can here. He was only charged $1,300 and lost his guns. He didn't go to jail. He, you know, didn't get arrested and strip searched. So
The other good thing I can see from this news story, they didn't call it a 3-03 caliber assault bolt. Or assault bolt action rifle.
They would have in Nanaimo.
Or a machine gun bolt action rifle.
rapid firing repeater.
He's still in the Maritimes, so they know what guns actually are out here. In Nanaimo, it would have been a military assault rifle from a World War II era assault rifle, is what
World
they would
War
have called
II,
it.
Yes, there you go. Yep, I like it. Assault weapon, actually.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I guess the moral of the story is, if your tractor gets stolen, unload your guns and store them safely before you call the police. I guess. Is that it?
Sure. I think so.
Yeah.
It's a good note to end on.
Good.
Also, don't leave the keys in your tractor.
Be smarter all around.
Be smarter.
You know, get smarter.
Well, on that note of us talking about whether or not you should be allowed to have a loaded gun in your house, we had a lot of listener feedback from last week's show. And what we're going to do for the remainder of this show is go through this feedback and cover each one as detailed as we can and kind of flesh out some of the other ideas that we didn't quite get a chance to get to last week and maybe clarify some points because we got called liberals by one person who shall remain unnamed, Sticks. but anyway, we're going to kind of make our case a little bit more clear. I think we didn't have enough time last week, so we're going to kind of do that starting now, I guess. So, Trevor, if you want to read this first email from John D., we'll get right into it.
All right. John says, finally got around to your reasonable gun control episode. You guys made some great points.
All right. Thank you, John. Let's move on to the next email.
Next one is from Chris R. No, John continues to say, I agree with scrapping barrel lengths, ATT class systems, and the ATT class system. I'm fine with taking a safety course and don't mind having to be licensed. We could allow either conceal or open carry for those willing to take extra courses to keep people happy. One thing I'd like for you to have brought up is suppressors. With you all commenting on noise issues, I would love to see people get the Hollywood idea out of their heads and allow suppressors, but I don't want to see ridiculous, let's say, tax stamp costs or import costs. It makes sense that if noise pollution is a problem for people, those who take an extra step should be able to add one on. Maybe just allow ranges to have them rent them out, maybe? I know I'm dreaming on ever being allowed to be polite with noise pollution, or being allowed to carry or own many of the firearms I'd like to, but I can dream. Yes, dream a little dream, John.
Yeah, that suppressors idea is a great one.
We definitely should have brought that up because we're all in agreement. It's a your muffler is not your car. According to the ATF, the suppressor is the firearm, and that's just absolutely ridiculous. And they're allowed in England and
required in a lot of places in Europe.
Yeah,
suppressor attacks aren't going. Yeah, exactly. Not only are they allowed, they're required.
Yeah,
and crazy suppressor attacks aren't happening. So it's the same as any other gun law. It doesn't make sense. And they're a safety device, so we should definitely be allowed to have them.
Definitely. I agree. Yep. All right, well, this next one comes to us from Chris R. He writes, "Hi, guys. I got to disagree. No, we're not reading this one. We're moving on to..."
He does that a lot. I know him from the other show. He has no problem telling someone when they're wrong.
Oh, perfect. Sounds like somebody else I know.
He's going to fit in just fine.
Perfect. "I got to disagree with some of the discussion from last week's discussion on safe storage laws in Canada. I sympathize with your reasoning, but I want to give you some food for thought. I have no issue with the concept of wishing to keep firearms out of the reach of children and preventing unauthorized use in general. However, the current safe storage laws fly in the face of one's right to self-defense, in my opinion. I've heard you guys discuss before that if you could carry, you would always carry with one in the pipe, because having to load your gun under duress in a split second during an encounter when your life counted on it seems counterproductive. By the same logic, I submit to you that if you feel that one has the right to defend oneself and one's home, then you have to be in favor of being able to store a firearm in a loaded safe, loaded state, provided it's done in a safe manner. For instance, why shouldn't one be able to store a loaded handgun in a quick access safe for self-defense purposes? Or if one lives alone and doesn't have anyone else living in the house to worry about, what would be wrong with having a loaded gun stashed in the closet, just in case? There is a provision in the firearms law for those of us that live in rural areas to keep firearms loaded and accessible for purposes of predator control. I have never really understood why I'm allowed to have a gun loaded and handy to protect livestock from coyotes, but somehow our laws view human life as somehow less precious than that of a cow.
Yeah, what? There are two-legged predators out there as well.
There certainly are. I should be able to defend my loved ones, my property, and myself, no matter where I might be or where I might live. The other issue I have is the provisions that make it illegal to load a firearm anywhere that there is a no-discharge bylaw. This prevents people from urban areas from possessing a loaded firearm, even in their own homes, when it is directly under their control. Thankfully, I live in the country where this is not an issue. Obviously, the above needs to be balanced with the circumstances at hand. I certainly don't think you should leave loaded guns laying around when there are small children around and other such situations. I think, though, in such situations, it's reasonable to permit loaded firearms to be in some kind of locked receptacle for use by responsible persons, or for them to be carried by such persons directly. Thanks for listening, and keep up the great work. No, Chris, thank you for listening, and keep up the great debate.
First off, in dealing with storage laws and in your house, if you're going to be allowed, permitted by law to carry for the purpose of self-defense, it should be on you, in your house even.
I would agree with that. I would think that he's got a good point where having a loaded gun in a safe, I don't have a problem with that, but I think...
Neither.
When we said that we sort of agreed with our safe storage laws last week, it was to the point where we understood that leaving loaded guns laying around with children in the house was a bad idea. And yeah. I think we can all agree with that. I think if the gun is not under your direct care and control, it should be unloaded, unless, I guess, and I haven't really thought about this a whole lot until just now, but if it's in a safe, and I guess that makes sense. If it's locked in a safe, then it's safe.
Yeah, and in a safe that you know for a fact is secure, there have been cases where parents have thought that the child did not know the combination or did not know where the key was, and it's been proven that they did. So you're really... Right. Yeah, I'm okay with keeping a loaded firearm in a safe. I mean, I've got my Glock 17 in my Fort Knox safe with magazines right next to it. It's not loaded, but it's as close as I can legally get to being loaded. And if I could legally load it, I would. So I'm totally comfortable with the idea. But again, you just have to, if you're going to take it to the next step, then you also need to take your due diligence and your security to the next step and ensure that you're the only one that has access to it.
That's right, and I think that's the key. So I think if you have teenagers in the house, maybe loaded guns is probably not a good idea, because they will probably always find out what the combination to your safe is or find the key. That's what teenage kids do. That's what I do.
But if they're a teenager, they're not dumb. If you have a magazine beside the firearm.
No, wait, you just said teenagers aren't dumb. I'm sorry, but that's a complete oxymoron.
Yep. But they're certainly capable of inserting a magazine. I'm not sure that having it unloaded at that point is really
going to make a big difference.
Anything.
That's a good point, though. And you're right. Yeah. That is a good point.
Yeah, loaded or not, you don't want them to have access to it. And teenagers, I mean, the things that I did when I was a teenager that I got away with that would probably get me thrown in jail today, just saying.
But I guess if you did
it
right,
stuff out.
I guess if you did it right and you had responsible teenager children, then this wouldn't be an issue, period.
Well, this is it, too. You got to know your kids.
That's
you could say to yourself, doesn't matter. I've got a budding psychopath in the house, and it doesn't matter where I'm going to put things. He's going to find them. Well, then, you know, if your son is Adam Lanza, maybe you shouldn't keep guns in the house, period.
Maybe.
No matter how, because then, you know, he may decide, well, I'm going to murder you and then take it and go shoot up a school, right?
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself, who's in your home?
Well, you got to have an honest discussion with yourself. And I think that's key there is that common sense, honest discussion and, you know, identifying threats right away.
Yeah.
But
it's no different than if somebody was depressed in your house.
Sure. Yeah.
You might want to consider taking the ammo out of the house or something.
Yeah. Back to the mandatory safe storage laws, though. I think that the good compromise there would be if the firearm is under your direct care and control, you should be allowed to have it loaded, because firearms are a very good tool for self-defense, and an unloaded firearm is simply an unwieldy club. So I think I agree with Chris on most of his points, if not all of them. And that interesting point about being able to have loaded firearms for predator control, I don't think you're allowed to have them loaded, but you're allowed to have ammunition accessible to it or something like that. I don't think you're allowed to actually have it loaded in the house, are you?
No,
I was just reading that.
It's like if you're back at a camp in the woods, you don't have to have it locked. But I don't think you're allowed to have it loaded.
That's right. You're allowed. And that's it. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Remote wilderness locations or something like that is what it says.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll see if I can look that up before we get to the end of the show and
who's
clarify
got
that.
The whale?
Anyway, Owen, do you want to bring us this one from Spencer?
Sure. Hey guys, Spencer from Smyrna here. Glad to see Trevor found his way back and things are back to normal.
Normal.
as normal
quote unquote.
As it can be, yes. Yeah. I just wanted to give you a quick follow-up on my reloading and a listener comment last week. I am planning to stick with 9mm as my first round. I had thought of 38, 357. My GP100 eats any of those just fine. But the fact that the case is huge compared to the amount of powder required me to put me off. Too easy to double charge for a newbie. I do have a mentor, though, sort of. Unfortunately, he single stages 300 Ultra WinMag. Apparently it's a thing. And maybe crafts, and I do mean crafts, 50 rounds in a year. Not exactly the guy I need to help with a progressive setup.
No.
The good news is I found a Reloading 101 course at a local gun shop. That's kind of cool. So I signed up for that this Saturday. Between that and the reading I've done, hopefully you won't be hearing any muffled bang from a southerly direction anytime soon. Also, a couple of comments on your gun control discussion. The Brady campaign was just bragging on how their background checks, which they were originally against, is too easy, kept millions of firearms out of criminal hands. To say this is tweaking reality is an understatement. Criminals don't try and buy a gun involving a background check since they know that it will fail. They may not be brilliant, but they certainly usually aren't stupid. Something like 90% of failed checks are actually clerical errors by the FBI and are passed within 3 days. The few checks that really do fail are almost always people with oddball scenarios, typically misdemeanor convictions that get caught up under the arcane legislation defining who is a prohibited person here in the States. A good example is that many states report people who are simply charged with any kind of domestic violence crime. In gun control states, this can get you in the prohibited list, even if the charges are dropped, which in these cases is extremely common. criminals in the States get the majority of their guns the same way as they do almost everywhere. They steal them or buy them from someone who steals them. Also, about 40% here are bought by people with clean background checks, backgrounds who can pass a check and knowingly give them to criminals. These straw buyers do this for love, money, or fear, even though it is a felony in all 50 states. The prosecution rate is so low, less than 200 in 2012, they simply don't worry about being caught at it. On the suicide aspect of storage, Matt is right.
All right, there we go. We can end this email right here. Matt is
lucky. Locking up a gun doesn't seem to have much effect on suicide rates. If someone is planning on taking their own life, the 30-second delay in getting it from a safe isn't a factor. The one aspect that is different, though, is the time available after the act to change their mind. With pills or slitting your wrist, there is time for them to change their mind and call for help. Shooting yourself in the head is pretty much a done deal once you pull the trigger. Unless you're a bad shot, I suppose. jumping from a bridge or a building, hanging yourself, or any of a dozen other methods also leaves little or no time to change your mind. So this isn't something that would change if every gun disappeared from the face of the earth tomorrow. It's been shown again and again that if someone truly wants to commit suicide, they will accomplish their goal through whatever means they have available. All you need to do is look at Japan. They have no firearms ownership there. Yet they have a suicide rate that almost equals the Canada and the U.S. combined. They use other means, but if firearms were available, I'm sure the gun control industry would be using them as their poster child for pushing safe storage laws around the world. Anyways, great show, and let me know if you have an extra t-shirt left over. Whale size, please.
I will let you know if I do have one. And you do make some good points in that that email. Loading 9mm, I like we talked about before, I don't think you're going to have any issues. I think you'll be okay. Just follow what the book says. Don't do anything silly off the bat. Wait a little while before you blow yourself up. and thanks for letting us know what the failed checks are, because I have heard that they are failed checks, but I just assumed that they were dumb criminals who try. I mean, what else would it be, right? I just completely forget the fact that the government makes mistakes. So, but that does make a lot of sense that they're just mistakes and that people actually do get their guns after sorting that out in the end.
Yeah.
Anything else, gentlemen?
No, I don't think so. I had actually, it was interesting. I don't know if it was this last week. I was reading an article. I have a couple friends in the States, one in particular. She's quite a gun enthusiast, and she buys gun magazines and different things, and then brings them to me on Sunday at church and keeps them in a bag and smuggles them to me. I bring them home and read them. And
now, does she pin the mags before she brings them across the border?
Yes, yeah, those kind of magazines, exactly. And so I was reading in this about this exact thing, actually, the background checks and the Brady campaign and how they, you know, brag about how great these background checks are when originally they were completely against background checks.
Interesting. So, why would they be against them? They're the Brady campaign.
I know, but originally they were against them.
They were going to be too easy.
Yeah, too easy to get around or something.
Huh. For those of you who don't know, the Brady campaign is a vehemently anti-gun organization in the States. They want to basically disarm everybody.
What happens when your husband gets shot in the head trying to defend Reagan?
Yep.
You get all take it all personal.
Take it all personal. It wasn't even after you. It was after somebody else.
Yeah.
Relax.
All of a sudden, one minute you're a victim of gun violence, next minute you're an expert on guns. Who knew there was...
Oh, I was in a car accident. You should see all the physics I know now because of it.
Yep.
Wait, that's not how that works?
It's exactly. Yeah, it's like some through knowledge through attrition or something.
I don't know. Osmosis.
It's maybe. A joke.
Yeah. Okay. So I did find those safe storage provisions there in areas where it's legal to discharge a firearm. Non-restricted firearms used for predator control may be stored temporarily unlocked and out in the open, as long as it's unloaded and not readily accessible to ammunition. The other provision is in a remote area where hunting might reasonably occur. A non-restricted firearm may be stored unlocked out in the open and accessible to ammunition as long as the firearm is unloaded. So if you're going to get eaten by a wolf, you can have your gun out and the ammo in the other room. But if you're going to just go hunting after rabbits, you can have your shotgun and your shells next to each other. Again, a perfect example of how it makes no sense at all. Okay, Trevor, Mark in Ohio.
From Mark in Ohio, I recently purchased a Ruger 10/22. Was talking with a friend of mine about dry fire practice. My friend tells me, never dry fire a rim fire. Ruger 10/22 manual says to decocking by dry fire. Says to decock by dry fire. The manual also recommends dry fire to get used to the trigger. What do you guys think about dry firing a rim fire rifle? Will it harm the rifle? Mark in Ohio. Well, the manual says it's okay. Anyway, and
you were going to make fun of him there for a minute, weren't you?
No.
Well, I could tell. I could hear that filter engage right quick across your mouth.
No. Make fun of him for what?
Well, the manual says it's okay, but what does the factory know about their own firearm?
Well, okay, it could have went that way. I didn't. I could have. It was there. I didn't take it. I took the high road.
Sorry, Mark. Owen and I took the low road.
Yeah.
But no, Trevor's right.
You took the low road. I just laughed at you.
You just laughed at it.
But I know, Matthew, you did reply to this guy already, but for everyone else who's out there who's wondering, basically, almost as a general rule, all modern rimfires are safe to dry fire. That being said, my 5.97, the firing pin will smack right into the chamber and ding the bejeez out of it. So it's actually not safe to dry fire, in my opinion, because the firing pin is impacting on steel, which actually made a pin mark in there. And every once in a while, I do accidentally dry fire the gun. My 30-round mags will not lock open when they're empty, so I'll be clicking away on the trigger, and then bang, 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 click. I dry fire inadvertently on an empty mag. With the 10-round mag, it's no problem because it locks open. So you just inspect them, right, Matthew? You have a look at how they're made. One way you can tell for sure,
I mean, the best way is to, of course, either contact the manufacturer or read the owner's manual, because it will often say whether it is safe or unsafe to dry fire it, whether it will cause damage or not. But the other way, if you don't have access to that info, you can just take a piece of paper and put it in the chamber between the chamber face and the firing pin and the bolt and pull the trigger. And if the paper is perforated, well, the firing pin has hit the chamber and it will cause damage. And if the paper is not perforated, then it won't cause damage to the chamber when you dry fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most guys listening to this show will have to do that test, because if they're real guys, the first thing they do when they open the box on a firearm is throw away the manual.
That's right, because men don't read instructions. Yep, that's true. Now, for those of you listening, I know that we do have quite a few listeners on the Reno Viola network, and a lot of these people are fishermen and not hunters or firearms people. Rimfire. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Rimfire firearms get their name because the primer is in the rim of the cartridge instead of in the center that you would find in a center fire, which is what normal, most popular ammunition is. And so what is happening is the firing pin hits on the edge, hits on the rim. And if that rim's not there, the firing pin may actually impact the edge of the barrel. And that will sometimes, like in Trevor's case here, it will peen the barrel and actually deform it slightly. So that's why we're talking about whether or not it's safe to dry fire these types of rifles.
Now, in the old days, metallurgy wasn't what it was, and older rimfire 22s, you know, you were going to really mess up your firing pin, so you didn't do it.
That's right. But like Trevor said, most modern firearms these days are completely safe to dry fire. But like I said, when in doubt, do the paper test or contact the manufacturer.
Cool. Or go on YouTube. Everything on YouTube's correct.
Everything. Or Wikipedia. Just the internet in general, basically.
Just find a random podcast about firearms and ask them, because they must know.
They must know, because they do a show. We must not ever be wrong. I wish. All right, this next one comes to us from Karas. Now, did I say that right again?
Again.
I think I called him Karas last time, didn't I?
Oh, who knows?
I can't remember.
No, no one expects us to get these things right.
He's from Mother Russia, wasn't he? Or was he from somewhere else? Something
Maybe
like that.
Maybe he's from the Ukraine?
Let me read this and see if it has an accent. Anyway, he writes, "Hey guys, while I'm still waiting for my pal to arrive since December..." that is a bit of a wait, unfortunately. That's too bad. "I've been pacing around the mailbox, salivating profusely like a dog next to a barbecue." That is an image I will have in my head for all the evening now. My
that
girlfriend
makes me miss my dog.
Makes me miss my barbecue.
Makes me want hungry for a hot dog.
"My girlfriend got her PAL in 2 months," and he has in brackets here, "maybe I'm a terrorist and I didn't know it, LOL."
Oh, with a name like Harass.
Yeah. "Maybe I'm a terrorist. I blow up Kremlin, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. What do you say?"
Mother Russia blows you up.
Well, back to the point. He says, "My girlfriend bought an old single-shot 22 Cooey for $15. This thing was rough, and for $15, I would imagine it would be. The bolt cycled as if it had been lubricated using only Trevor's beard trimmings for the last 30 years, and the wood smelt like a grandma's basement, and the sights were missing, with the screws sheared off. So, to help her out, I machined out the receiver, 30 thou, made a stainless steel insert. Now the bolt is as smooth as silk. I machined scope mounts and TIG welded them on, made a custom detachable bipod, and painted it up. Now I think I have the best looking Cooey 75 on the planet. So I'm wondering, if you three had any success stories of old crappy guns brought back to life, just because you could." And he sent a picture of it, which I looked at, which was really cool. And then he signs off, "Take it easy, guys. Karas." So that was a really good picture.
He did send pictures?
He did, yes. It's in the email there.
I'll have to look that up. Yep. I did the Squires Bingham over, the semi-automatic 22 that was sold in the like 60s or 70s at Kmart's, made in the Philippines. I had that completely. Matthew and I tracked down some internal parts for it from, do you remember? That was...
It was out west, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Western Gun Parts or something like
that? Yeah, Great Western Gun Parts.
Yeah, there you go.
And the local guy did the work, and he also redid my Remington Model 525. This was a ubiquitous bolt-action 22 that also came out under the CIL name and maybe another one. And I used to think it was a great gun until I started to shoot other guns. Had a horrific trigger on it. I used to think it was fantastic. Accurate little bolt action 22 just the same. But
they used to make them really accurate back in the day. Mm-hmm. I used to have a Cooey 75, and that thing was a tack driver.
But those are the only two that I redid. Owen doesn't redo guns.
No.
What are you talking about?
Clean. I don't clean my guns. I just put that in the closet.
I redid a early 1930s JG Auschwitz 22.
Oh, that's cool. The one that you got at that plumbing job.
Really? It's an Auschwitz?
Yes.
Are you sure it's not an Anschutz?
I have no idea.
It's an Anschutz.
I'm pretty sure Auschwitz was the place where they sent the Jews in World War II.
Yeah. I don't think they were into making 22s.
Auschwitz?
Anschutz.
Anschutz.
They're the ones that make all the biathlon rifles.
Yeah.
Yeah. That company, whatever they are.
them guy, whatever, I redid it.
Whatever, I did this gun. It was awesome. Cool. Is that all you did with it?
Yeah, I refinished it and cleaned it up and re-blued the barrel and stuff like that.
Did you do it or did you get somebody else to do it?
Oh, I did it.
Yeah?
You've seen it, Matthew. I've seen it. It's nothing to write home about.
I don't show Matthew my guns.
I didn't see his Anschutz.
Oh.
Steal it.
It's upstairs in the bedroom closet.
The 22.
Closet.
Exactly.
That's true. That's true, Matthew or Owen.
It's interesting.
Good point.
Cool. Yeah, I've done a couple of guns. I did an old Lee Enfield once, a jungle carbine, and I also did a Savage 24C, and I've also done a Mossberg. What was that thing? Mossberg something KA. 590 KA or something like that. I don't remember, but it was a bolt action 22 Magnum. I've done at least three, if not couple. I'm sure there's a couple I'm forgetting too, but I generally do it. I generally do it just because the guns speed up, and I like working on them. And then I don't have a single one of them that I've refinished now. They've all been sold.
I was going to redo my 870.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
and
I
you did off. In plastic.
Yeah, I did. I took off the wood and put plastic on it. Problem solved.
That's why I don't do a lot of the guns I have, because I was looking at my gun safe the other day, and everything is plastic. There's very little wood in there.
Well, I did get my 30-30 redone as well.
That's right, you did.
And that one, oh man, I can be buried with that gun, boys. If something happens tomorrow, like I hit a transport on the way to work, put that in the casket with me, okay?
I will definitely make sure that the gun case goes in the casket with you. And it might even have the rifle in it.
I love that rifle, but I don't want to use it. I want to keep it pristine. I know that's silly, but...
Yeah, that's kind of why I don't have nice guns.
Yeah.
Because I'd be scared I wouldn't want to use it. And in fact, the funny thing is that that Mossberg that I redid, this was last year or 2 years ago now, I think, when I got it... It was pretty rough, but I shot it, and it was a tac driver. And 22 Magnums as tac drivers are kind of hard to find. And after I finished it, I got it hot blued. I polished everything. I sanded off the old finish and refinished it, the wood and everything. It was beautiful. And it turned out I didn't want to use it anymore. Same with you, Trevor. I just didn't want to use it. I was scared of scratching it up. So I sold it.
Especially since you did the work yourself.
Yeah. But I couldn't afford to just leave it and let it sit in the safe, so I turned it into something else. I don't remember what it turned it into now, but...
I won't sell this one, but...
Yeah. Well, yours has a bit of historic value with you, too, right?
Yeah.
Mine didn't. I just bought mine off CGN for, like, $200 or something, so it's no big deal. So...
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. This last one. Who read that I don't remember who read the last one.
You did.
I did. Okay, Trevor.
This is from Kevin, and from Kevin to Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Kevin.
I won't be able to make the shoot as I'm booked the whole season on service conditions, events, and clinics.
This is the guy who sent the...
Yeah, it's not important. Service
so
what?
I asked him if he was going to be making if he's going to be able to make it to the charity shoot. That's why he answered
me. I'm trying to make service condition jokes, Matthew. Play along.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, man, is this thing on Matthew mute? No, it's not. All right. So, it would be great to get back in New Brunswick, though I haven't been down there since 1995 when I was posted in Gagetown for training. I'm an avid listener, of the show, and enjoy the banter between all of you. Yes, even Trevor.
Some people are like just suckers for punishment, aren't they?
Yeah. I think you have a good balance of personalities and interests, making for some good discussion. Did he send this to the wrong show?
He might have. I'll double check.
As for the charity shoot, I think this kind of thing is great, and it can go a long way in the minds of people that have the wrong impression of law-abiding gun owners. I particularly like that the guys from Radio Velocité Quebec are involved. You guys are doing a great job of bringing the gun community together and bringing new people into the fold. I salute you. Since I can't attend, I thought I would send along a donation to help the charity and also to help with the stigma and help end the stigma of responsible firearms ownership. That's right. There is a stigma around responsible firearms owners.
Yep.
Thanks again. Keep up the good work. And remember that not all us liberals hate guns. Wait a second. He's a liberal?
So yeah, that
his
brings
last
up...
name starts with an L. So
yeah, Kevin L.
Kevin Liberal.
See, now that does actually bring up something we should discuss. We do understand that not everybody who agrees with our politics, just because you don't agree with our politics doesn't mean you wouldn't necessarily be interested in guns and own guns. So while we do make fun of liberals, I think we should clarify that we don't make fun of the individuals. We make fun of kind of their politics and their platform.
Yeah.
And the only reason... many of us law-abiding gun owners don't really like the liberals and that side of the political spectrum is because here in Canada, everybody on the left side of the political spectrum is all for taking our guns away. every single one of them has some sort of anti-gun stance in their official party platform. And so that's the only reason why we kind of make fun of the left. Some of us have other reasons that we don't agree with the left end of the spectrum of politics, but that's not for this show. That's for a politics show. But, you know, I do want to clarify that individuals who are liberals and who vote liberal for whatever reasons, I got no, you know, whatever. That's cool. You do what you need to do. I have nothing against you as a person. Just bear in mind that you are voting for somebody who wants to take away some of your guns.
So that's the thing. I was liberal for years. I didn't fully understand all of their politics, but there were some things that they believed in that I that were important to me at that time in my life. But and I was I've always been a gun owner, and even when I didn't fully understand what was happening in 1995 and ultimately who was responsible for it. But ever since coming into the fold, as Kevin put it, and becoming an active gun owner, I could never see myself voting liberal again, because and whether it's guns or some other cause, if I'm passionate about it, I can't see myself voting for the for a party that wants to take something or limit me in some way.
Just, yeah, if you're into like you know, remote control airplane flying, and somebody wants to say, I don't know, ban all quote unquote drones, and then they go ahead and classify all RC aircraft as drones, and they want to ban them, you wouldn't very well vote for whatever party it was that was going to do that to you, whether you agreed with the rest of their platform or not. They're cutting directly into your life, your personal, you know, your personal pastimes and hobbies. So why would you want to allow them to harm you in that way? So
exactly. And in this case, I mean, you know, I'm a huge believer in access to firearms for sport and recreation and hunting, but I would certainly also like to see us have more access to firearms legally, or support us using our firearms for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, I want my guns for more than just recreation. It's nice that I have them for recreation, but I'd love the government to support the notion of, yes, you can go out and get training and carry and defend yourself in worst case scenario situations when you have absolutely no other choice.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Owen?
Amen.
Well said.
All right. Well, why don't you, Owen, bring us our iTunes review this week? And I think we've done this one before, but because Trevor took the time to type it out, we're going to read it again.
Sorry.
The dynamics between these three lead to great squirrel. Keep up the great work. Even when there's only two of them, any two, not just when Trevor isn't there to keep interrupting, the dynamic is still good.
Yes, wait, I'm pretty sure it's Trevor that keeps interrupting. Yeah. It's not me at all. No, it's definitely Trevor. No, Owen, you missed this guy's username. Why don't you go ahead?
And yeah. Oh, yeah. I was trying to avoid that. Acechetto, that's what I would call it.
Acechetto?
Ace Cheto?
Yeah, I would go with Ace Cheto, not Ass Cheto.
Ass.
Well, I was looking at the ACE, but and then it's probably Ace, yeah. Ace Cheto.
Yeah. Anyway, Ace thanks. Cheto. Ace, he must be Italian. It's Fragile. all right, shout outs. We've got one from Luke G. He sent a listener to host shout out. So this is actually a shout out to us, not from us to him. It's from him to us. So this is kind of backwards.
So confused.
If this doesn't make sense, listen to this again in reverse, and it should all become clear.
That's it. Is that because we continually say they don't count, they don't matter, they're insignificant?
And we never talk about them?
Because they don't count, they're insignificant.
All right, well, joining us now, we got the Steve Lee from Oztown. You guys call it Oztown down there, right?
Yeah, I've never heard that, but from here on in, that's what it's going to be called.
I just made it up. So, Steve, you're coming to our charity shoot this summer, aren't you?
Correct. I'm going to be there with bells on, mate.
Could you put something else on besides the bells?
Would that be okay? I thought it was a Christmas event. That's what it's
in addition to a bells.
Yeah, you can wear bells, but not just wear bells.
All right, keep it in mind.
Steve, share with the listeners a couple of your fond memories from last year's event.
Are we talking about the actual shoot?
No,
whatever. The shenanigans at my place, the hunt.
I had fond memories of that video we put up with the shotgun shooting, that 15-shot thing you had. What was it?
That's Kel-Tec KSG. It's at Owens now, so you'll still have access to it.
Man, that's a firearm, that thing. That's a beauty.
Yeah, that thing was fun.
That was good. Yeah, that was pretty cool. The shooting
Tell us
was
about your coyote hunting experience. That was fun, too, wasn't it?
I don't want to go into that. I'm bringing me Fox Whistle to try again. I'll tell you what happened. So we gave out fox. Fox whistling, but coyote whistling. And I brought my fox whistle from Australia, which is the silver fox whistle, which is a bit of a legendary fox whistle. So I took that out and I thought I'll see if I can try it on coyotes. But as it had an Australian accent with the Australian accent of rabbits squealing, I didn't know if they sounded the same over there in Canada. And I was hoping that the coyotes didn't pick up on the Australian accent when I was blowing that whistle, but I think they may have. But after a long sort of period of time, I look across the paddock. What do you call it? The field?
A field, yeah.
Look across the field, and here's this pair of ears and a nice-looking coyote head looking over a bit of grass with me. And unfortunately, I sort of – my heart started beating pretty fast because I didn't expect it. And it was a reasonable distance, 100 meters probably?
I think it was about 100, yeah.
So I put the crosshairs on the from the scope on the head of the coyote, but pulled the trigger, and I was sort of sure I hit it, but I don't know. I must have blown it into oblivion because we couldn't find even a piece of it.
Yeah, sure enough that you had us searching for half an hour in the field. No, you didn't check over there, Mike. Go over there and look in that there grass.
Well, I tell you what, next time, Steve, I'm going to give you either Matthew's axis or my Thompson Center, and we won't stick you with something like a Kel-Tec SU-16 with an air rifle scope on it again. All right, mate?
Is that what happened?
You guys are terrible.
He wanted the cool-looking black gun.
That was a great firearm. I love that firearm. It missed for me, but I still loved it.
Well, after that, I sold it. I got tired of people coming over the house saying, let me see the gun that Steve missed with. It was starting to be embarrassing.
Yeah, well, the fact I missed with it probably devalued it by about $500-$600, I'm sure.
Oh, no. No, no. I took the guy good. I made like $200 on the deal. It's good. I don't even know if he realizes that he has that gun. I'm going to get him to bring it to the charity shoot, and you can autograph it for him this year.
That would be
cool.
Yeah,
sure, no problem. Yeah, I can do that. I really did like the charity shoot last year. I mean, that what do you call the pistol shoot we did with the boat and that?
Yeah, the Ipsic mini match.
And that was pretty – that was cool. I wouldn't mind doing that again. That was great.
Well, we will be doing that again, and we got cooler props. We're getting a bigger boat this year. We've got a bus now, and
tanks. Is the airplane going to be set up?
The airplane, it'll be a submarine or on its way to being a submarine. That's it. There'll be a bigger boat and
– And no plane.
No plane.
Did you guys fly the plane there, did you?
No.
No.
Just
maybe.
Checking.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you're back. Last year was really good, so I want to go down and because you guys do have a lot of weapons there that most people can't get here in Australia, and at the moment I definitely can't get, but that's another story. And so I'm looking forward to going there and having a bit of a shoot. I'm also after that shoot, I'm hoping to go to British Columbia and do some wolf hunting.
Yeah, you should take one of us with you.
I nominate Matthew.
Pick me.
See how selfless I am?
Yeah.
Are
we going to drive? Mate, it would take us a month to drive there from here. It's on the other side of the continent. It'd be like from you driving from where you live over to Perth.
Only we have roads that go all the way. Yeah.
In fact, actually, it's about twice the distance from where you live to Perth as it is from where I live to British Columbia. So.
Perth is 3,500 kilometers from here.
Yeah, well, it's 7,000 kilometers to British Columbia.
I just made that up.
Are you serious?
I just made that up. I said twice as much, so I just multiplied by two.
Yeah, it's three That's times two long. Is seven. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, he said three and a half, Trevor.
Oh, I didn't hear the half.
Yeah.
Darn.
We'll fly there, too. Oh, yeah, Bucko rang me, too. Bucko rang me. He's got me bear skin down there. I've got to go pick up.
So yeah, I was just going to ask, why are you coming back to Canada? It's not just for us. I mean, I know we're special and that you would come just the drop of a hat, but why are you really coming?
Well, I've got to go do a guy asked me to go and be the guy that marries you at a wedding, whatever that guy is.
Like a minister or an ordained thing?
And I said to him, but I'm not a minister or ordained. And he goes, that's all right, we'll just do it at the – you can do the ceremony part. Oh,
like,
and we'll just
like a justice of the peace.
I don't know what he's –
So you're gonna do the ceremony, but you're not gonna be the officiant.
Oh yeah, whatever. Something like that.
Yeah,
it is.
But anyway,
it is
I'm just going. All I know is if I do it, he'll throw in a wolf hunt. That's all I know.
Beauty, marry him, all his daughters, all kinds of people.
Yeah.
So it's whatever.
In British Columbia. So I'm heading up there.
Cool.
Where in British Columbia?
Somewhere.
Northern part, probably, eh?
It's sort of remote. It takes us 7 hours to get to the camp, wherever we're going. And the guy is a guide up there for a hunting outfit. But he, I know him because he was a guide down here in Australia, and he's one of my good mate's son. So he's marrying a Canadian lady.
Cool.
Okay. You're probably looking at somewhere close to 6,000 kilometers.
Right. So it's going to be a long
close. Time.
And that's the fast way through the States.
Yeah, okay. Oh, we're going to get through the States to get there.
Better, it's just more direct rather than trying to go through northern Ontario.
So we're going to fly then, Matt?
Yeah, I think we'll fly. It's probably our best bet right there is flying.
We'll work on that.
Cool.
Well, awesome. Well, I don't know whether I need you now that I'm not driving there. I don't know whether I need you to come.
Huh. And on that note, thanks for joining us, Steve. All right, well, I guess that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please be sure to check out both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. Both are doing fantastic things for us right now. And with all of the hot topic issues in the news right now, you do need to be a member. It's not expensive. Just go do it if you haven't already. And as bonus, send us an email saying that you did join up because of us, because that'd be cool. We love it when people send us emails about that. Check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada web forum. We do have our own little special forum in there where you can discuss the show, and we do check in on there from time to time. So, you know, you have a question and you don't want to email us, you can just check us out on Gun Owners of Canada in the Slam Fire Radio sub forum, and we'll be happy to talk to you there. Also, please go check us out on Facebook if you are so inclined. We're at 953 and counting, I think.
58.
So, is it 58? I couldn't tell. Somebody left their cursor there, so I can't see if it's a 3 or an 8.
And suddenly you are unable to move the cursor. Okay.
It's your cursor. There you go. I can't move yours. I can only move mine. Oh, you're a jerk.
Cry, baby seal. Man.
All right. Be sure to check out the other podcasts on the Reno Violo Outdoor Web Radio Network, as well as the Crusader Podcast Network. There are tons of great shows on both of those networks. Check them out. Tell them we sent you. And have a good week. We'll see you next time.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Do you want me to sing it?
Yeah.
Cry, baby, feel. They'll never understand. How you have the right to live upon the land. The fact is, I don't really live on the land, do I? I live on the beach, but that is the song. Cry, baby seal. They're never going to see. I don't want to sing any more of it. It's so stupid. But yeah, I'm going to sing it.
That's a great song. Oh, I love it. We're going to have to take a little pause here because we have 10 minutes left and nothing to fill.
Oh, dear.
We can't stop the show now. if we stop the show now, I have to go outside and do yard work. I already shoveled off a deck today.
Yep.
I'm not going to shovel off and move cars. She's out there, snowblower village idiot from up the roads out there. I'm busy podcasting, so darn it, find me 10 minutes.
Well, I think you just found yourself at least two, because that's an outtake.